Let's take our Bibles and turn to Ruth chapter 2 this morning, making our way through this small but not insignificant book. We come today in our third part of it to chapter 2. Let's first pray and ask the Lord by His Spirit to help us in understanding it and profiting from it. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we rejoice that Christ is given to us and that you sent him forth, born of a woman, born under the law, that he might redeem those under the law, that we would be set free from our sin and death by his death and resurrection and through faith in him, a faith that is not of ourselves, it is the gift of God, worked in us by your word and spirit. And so, believing our Savior and seeking the help of our God by His Holy Spirit, bless not only the reading, but the preaching of your word, and make for our hearts and our minds, our lives, to be changed in what we consider today. May it bring glory to you and good to us as we ask it in Christ, and for His sake we pray. Amen. Ruth chapter 2, this is God's word. Now Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a man of great wealth of the family of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, "Please let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after one in whose sight I may find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she departed and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the portion of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, "May the Lord be with you." And they said to him, "May the Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his servant who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" And the servant in charge of the reapers answered and said, "She is the young Moabite woman who returned with Naomi from the land of Moab." And she said, "Please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." Thus she came and has remained from the morning until now. She has been sitting in the house for a little while. Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Listen carefully, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field. Furthermore, do not go on from this one, but stay here with my maids. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Indeed, I have commanded the servants not to touch you. When you are thirsty, go to the water jars and drink from what the servants draw." Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" And Boaz answered and said to her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law after the death of your husband has been fully reported to me, and how you left your father and your mother in the land of your birth and came to a people that you did not previously know. May the Lord reward your work and your wages be full from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge." And then she said, "I have found favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and indeed have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants." And at mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here, that you may eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar." So she sat beside the reapers, and he served her roasted grain, and she ate and was satisfied and had some left. When she rose to glean, Boaz commanded his servants, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not insult her. And also you shall purposely pull out for her some grain from the bundles and leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her." So she gleaned in the field until evening, and then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. She took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also took it out and gave Naomi what she had left after she was satisfied. Her mother-in-law then said to her, "Where did you glean today? And where did you work? May he who took notice of you be blessed." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The name of the man with whom I worked today is Boaz." And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed of the Lord, who has not withdrawn his kindness to the living and to the dead." Again, Naomi said to her, "The man is our relative. He is one of our closest relatives." Then Ruth and Moabite said, "Furthermore, he said to me, 'You should stay close to my servants until they have finished all my harvest.'" And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his maids, lest others fall upon you in another field." So she stayed close by the maids of Boaz in order to glean until the end of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest, and she lived with her mother-in-law. And so the reading of God's word today, Ruth chapter 2. For many hours of the week, we work. We may work at work. It may be at home. For some of us, it may be at school. Others of us, it's outside. But what the Lord has commanded is true for us. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. For many hours of the week, some more than others, you and I work. It may be that we spend too many of these moments complaining about or lamenting our work. This should never be, for various reasons. One of them is that God himself works. We only read in Scripture of God completing his work, not complaining about his work. Further, God has ordained that we work too. He gives us the power to earn wealth, Deuteronomy 8:18, which lawfully comes through our work, though at times it may come by inheritance, it may come by gift. Working with our hands becomes also a means by which we share with others. We provide even for the poor. Good things come to those who work, as well as to wait. God made us to work. We are the result of his work as creatures. And as new creatures in Christ Jesus, we are created in him as his workmanship to do good works. I wonder if this is your work ethic. Do you understand? Do you believe? Do you remember these things even at work? Can you say at the end of the day in faith of God's favor on you, it's all in a day's work? His favor is all throughout the work of the day, whatever that work is. Does that mark your thinking and the way you go about your work? What we see today in our studies in the book of Ruth reflects just this kind of thing. We see that the Lord not only provides with our work, but the Lord even provides through our work. That work is the setting. It is the context in which God is doing other things than just providing us our daily bread. He's doing more than what we see even with the work itself. Not only does God provide us the work we have, but he also makes it so that we can pay our bills. Not only do our bills get paid and services of all sorts get rendered to our employer and to society, but God works on us. As we work, God works. We work at something, God works on us in that setting. He works out His will. He brings it to pass even through our work. And thus, as He commands in His law, we are to do our work. We're to work. The Lord not only provides wonderfully with our work, but He does wonderfully through our work. So today we consider just this from Ruth's gleaning in the fields. And we see it amidst three points of a day's work. We see it in terms of the morning. We see it there in the afternoon. We see it even when it comes to evening. Each day has enough trouble of its own, our Lord said. And therefore, we shouldn't be anxious about tomorrow, because tomorrow will care for itself. And what is more, God gives us our daily bread such that we should seek Him for it. Ruth had. She sought God for her daily bread. And so she goes out, we might say, first thing as our first point, in the morning. In the morning. She seems to have had a very strong work ethic. It's not because she's a believer now. She may have had this as a Moabite. But now she has a strong faith too. And as it is the case theologically, so too is it practically that faith works. Faith is never alone. It always has works that show the reality of that faith. And so Ruth, unlike many people today, if they were in her shoes or in her situation, she had a mind to work. She had hands, she would use them. She wasn't the type to expect a handout. She was the type to work. She was, as 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 16 says, if any woman who is a believer has dependent widows, let her assist them. And so what did Ruth do? She went to work. It's time to work, she said. You remember at chapter 1, verse 22, it was the beginning of barley harvest when they returned. Like in spiritual things for Naomi and Ruth, God has been making things to grow physically, even as He was spiritually. It's now harvest time. This would be the equivalent of somewhere in the weeks of March to April. Things had been sown. Barley is now ready to be harvested. It's the time of the Passover, and 7 weeks later, it's going to be Pentecost. This is very important because wheat harvest will begin when barley harvest ends. God's providence is highlighting all these things when Ruth and Naomi return, things of redemption, things of fruitfulness, things of the Lord bringing back His people and blessing them after their having gone out. Through this, we see that God not only provides work, but He provides through that work in wonderful ways. What is the work for Ruth? What is that work? Well, since Naomi and Ruth are poor, they don't have fields of their own. They, as poor people, could really only glean. That's what Ruth is doing. She's following the Old Testament gleaning laws, which you can find in Leviticus 19 and Deuteronomy 24. In Leviticus 19, verses 9 through 10, the law stated that you don't reap your fields all the way to the corners. You don't get every single piece of barley or fruit, or whatever is grown, but you leave what is fallen so that the poor can go and glean, and they can have food for their hungry stomachs. Deuteronomy 24, if someone was out gleaning, and as sometimes happens, we think we can carry all that we can, but we end up dropping some, that reaper could not go back and pick up food. what was fallen. He had to leave it there. It must be left. One was only allowed one pass in the reaping. Whether it's trees, whether it's vineyards, whatever fell was for the poor. They then had the right to go and glean. So this is Ruth's work. She's gleaning as someone without means. There was a form of welfare under the Old Testament, and God provided for the poor and the disadvantaged, but it was not welfare without work. God said, Jesus reminded us, that the poor you will always have with you. But God's version of provision for the poor is not laziness. It's not a handout. It is that you work. So very much here, there is provision, but it entails perspiration. There is very much a handout, but it is not a free handout. You have to work. Modern welfare mindset of America is just the opposite. We have people that are encouraged in their laziness, and in some cases, they are even discouraged from working. That is not the New Testament nor the Old Testament. Remember, the Apostle Paul said that we don't condone a life of not working, of busybodiedness, but one would work with his hands quietly, and even such that if a man does not work, he shall not eat. God provided for both of those. And so Ruth here is a worker. What does she say? But please let me go to the field and glean. That would be a text maybe to preach on in terms of American welfare system. Please let me go to the field and glean. God not only provides wonderfully with Ruth's work, as we'll see, he provides wonderfully through that work. Just think of it. What providence of God is here with Ruth's desire? Just cut all the way into this very moment where Ruth says, please, Naomi, let me go and glean in the field. Just go back to Naomi's agreement with Ruth's question. By that very decision, the whole course of human history is going in a certain direction. And as we'll see at the end of Ruth, brings forth the very line of David, which will bring forth the Messiah. Right here at these very words, they're full of importance. They're full of significance. The very coming of the Messiah and the salvation of sinners has to do and is bound up with Ruth saying, please, let me go and glean. God provides wonderfully with Ruth's work, but he provides wonderfully through that work that she would do. So that's an important point. Another way that that is seen is in the way that Ruth nor Naomi have any idea what God is really doing or is going to do. In verse 1, like with Job, we're told what is happening in the backdrop. And God makes it clear, this is the editorial behind-the-scenes comment of the Holy Spirit. Now Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a man of great wealth of the family of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And then the rest of this chapter goes to unfold that providence of God in view of Ruth's work and Boaz's provision. You see it in verse 2. Ruth is saying, let me go to the field. Which field? Well, she doesn't know this field. She's looking for, as it says, one undefined in whose sight I might find favor. Ruth has no idea who this man Boaz is. God is going to lead her to this man. Ruth has no idea about the particulars in any of this. How would she? She's from Moab. She's new to all these things. In verse 3, it says, she happened. She chanced upon chance. Yes, that's what it says in the Hebrew. It's not saying that chance is a real thing. It's describing it in terms of the providence of God and man seeing it from his perspective. Man looks at it in some way and says, well, this just happened to be. This was a coincidence. This was that I chanced upon this. Well, Scripture uses that kind of language to teach us the doctrine of providence. Seeing things from God's perspective, right in our own happenings. And so she happened to come upon this field. Well, we know that the Lord is the one who blesses our going out and our coming in again. We know that the mind of a person plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. This word happened upon is teaching us God's providence. And so God not only provides wonderfully with Ruth's work, but wonderfully through her work. And so then enter Boaz, beginning at verse 4. Now Boaz means strength. And this is a contrast to Ruth's first husband, Malan. You remember his name meant sickness. Boaz is from a strong, noble family of Judah. He's a sound businessman with a manager over the workers, the reapers. He's a godly man with a spiritual integrity about him. You notice the way he greets the reapers. The Lord be with you. I wonder what the workplace would be like if every manager, supervisor, or boss greeted the people, not with this little pep talk or coach session, but with the Lord bless you. May the Lord be with you. And you notice how these employees, these reapers, said the Lord bless you. What good working relationships God makes among people. So here's Boaz. He enters in as this good biblical manager, and though rich, like his Savior and distant offspring, he doesn't have any problems with, he doesn't have any misgivings in relating to the poor and engaging them. So he walks in and says, whose woman is this? He doesn't say, who is this woman? He says, whose woman is this? And so he's beyond the whole situation of Ruth. Not just Ruth and her name. He speaks to the reapers at verse 4. He then speaks to the servant in charge of the reapers, whose young woman is this? And then Boaz speaks to Ruth in verse 8 and 9. And in light of the situation that she's been working, and now it seems she's taking some sort of break in the house, she's been here a good part of the morning already, Boaz speaks to Ruth. And he doesn't limit or restrict, but he encourages her to stay in this field. Stay with my maids, my women working the field. Boaz is concerned to provide for her. Boaz is concerned to protect Ruth. There is such a thing as evil among the people of God generally considered, where she could be fallen upon and mistreated in another field. And so Boaz, not seeing just Ruth, but everything that might pertain to Ruth, cares for Ruth. And God is providing for Ruth in connection with this work and through Boaz. When you're thirsty, go to the water jars and drink from what the servants draw for you. Well, then it leads to Ruth's response. You see it here at verse 10. She fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner? This is interesting. Boaz mentions in his response that he's fully informed. He's up to speed on Ruth and Naomi's situation. And yet, even as a relative of Elimelech, he has not, as we know, reached out to Naomi. He's not met Ruth before. And equally so, Naomi You'd think she'd know about her family and relatives, has not reached out to Boaz yet. Is there some rift in the family? Some misgiving, some animosity about Naomi going to Moab? I don't think so. It seems to me that this fits right into what we're learning here, that God provides wonderfully Ruth's work, but God provides and does things through that work. And in that, Naomi and Boaz have not talked about this arrangement of how can we get work? Oh, I have a field. Tell Ruth, since she's younger than you, that she can come and work. None of that is apparent to have happened. And it's so that we would see that God is the one who wonderfully, through all these, as it were, chance happenings, makes his will to come to pass. And he directs our steps. God is the one who wonderfully provides. Ruth is not merely industrious about her work or her provision or temporal cares. She's walking by faith. She's following where the Lord would lead her. And Boaz encourages her to see things in this way. In that setting, Boaz provides. Boaz deepens her faith to next and better things. God is using Boaz in this way. Now, maybe we could pause and say and ask, doesn't this help you in relation to the matter of work? It ought to. It ought to make us to slow down and consider that God is doing things even in the setting of our work. What is God doing in it? How has he wonderfully, even surprisingly provided for you in your work? What are features about your work that you didn't know how it would go? And you wondered, what is after this? Who will I meet? Where is my field? How much will I get? We have all sorts of things, as Jesus said, do not be anxious about tomorrow. Tomorrow will care for itself, and that's because our Heavenly Father is the God of tomorrow. God provides wonderfully. And so you and I should then look at even our own work with this kind of faith and hope in the Lord. God has worked things out for your blessing and for your benefit. He never makes for the righteous to go lacking or begging bread. He won't do it. He's going to wonderfully, surprisingly provide not only your work, but through your work. So Ruth's encounter on her first day of work shows us that God is doing something deeper than the work. The basic provision of it, or the pay that we get. His plan is broader and wider than that. He's concerned to deepen and mature your faith. He's interested to occasion you to pray. He's interested in working gratitude and a Ruth sense of humility that God has provided for you. The wonderful way that he has. He's interested to sanctify you. And is there not any better place to sanctify you than through the trials of work? God is interested to lead you to be thankful for his provisions and to the end that it would lead to something important about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where Ruth's story goes. You and I, by faith, should see that ourselves. This is the full thrust of verse 12. May the Lord reward you for your work, and your wages be full from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge. That was the morning for Ruth's, as I'm saying, her first day at work. God wonderfully provided the work, and he wonderfully did things through that work. But secondly, we come to the point of the day, of the afternoon. The rest of the day, occasion Boaz's favor to continue toward Ruth, even to grow and spill wider. In verse 14, at mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here that you may eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar." So she sat and ate beside the reapers. She was served roasted grain. She ate, was satisfied, and had some left over. And then verse 15, she rose again to glean. Maybe we call this her break time. It seems that it's after the morning. She's been in the house. It's now afternoon. People would eat at lunchtime. It seems to be that it's that point of the day, whatever hour of the day she did this. She's invited to a meal. Boaz is extending favor. Not only does Ruth go without anything to eat, God provides her lunch. And he provides leftovers with that lunch. In verses 15 through 17, she goes back out to glean, and Boaz commands the servant, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not insult her." In other words, what's brought in from the field. She can go out in the field if she wants. Maybe it's kind of picked over somewhat. But even the sheaves that have already been brought in, even let her have the easier part of the work. Work that's maybe halfway done already. Give her a break and let her glean even from those sheaves. And don't insult her. And purposely pull out for her grain from the bundles and leave it that she may glean and do not rebuke her. Well, there's special treatment. There's added favor. She's not only out in the field in the morning, but now maybe that it's afternoon and the sun is hot, Boaz is saying, "I want to alleviate. I want to give rest and shade, help amidst the hard work." Well, not everyone received that kind of blessing. Sheaves need to be brought in from the field. So not everyone can do this. This is a special favor to Ruth. And you can imagine how work always is. There's always some who complain against the other workers. And you can imagine here, without any unions, that somebody saying, "That's not fair. Why her?" And you can see people turning against Ruth and saying, "Oh, that's Ruth. We don't like Ruth anymore because she doesn't have to go out in the field." And then jealousy sets in, and then comments start and name calling and people turning against Ruth. Boaz is a good manager. He knows people. He knows what can happen to Ruth. And so enter another dimension of the Lord's provision, and it's the Lord's protection. Don't insult her. Don't rebuke her. And he had already made so that she stays here where she's going to be safe. The Lord is providing for Ruth. This is wonderful to see. This is Boaz. It's not only that he's infatuated with Ruth. It's not only that he's interested in her. No, there's more than this. Boaz sees faith. He would have learned this from his mother or grandmother, Rahab. He would have seen faith works. And so he sees it now with Ruth. And so he may have been interested physically in Ruth, but he's interested spiritually in Ruth even more. She who is faithful in a little will be entrusted with more. She's fled Moab with Naomi. She has identified herself now with the God of Israel, and she's taken refuge under his wings. She's putting her faith to work, trying to take that faith to the appropriate next step, and she's following the gleaning laws of the Word of God. She's a woman who's putting her faith to work. She's a woman of hope. She's following God's Word. I will reward faith and faithfulness. Boaz was a man about the care of widows who understood that true religion consists in helping the fatherless and widows. And so he helps Ruth, and by extension, he will Naomi as well. Ruth is having the best day of work that you could ever have for a first day. She's having the best day of anyone there in the field, and God is the one who is making it so. You see that you only need the faith of a mustard seed. All you need is the faith of a Moabite new believer in the God of Israel. And God makes things happen, and he puts it together to reward faith. You can see that in how much she gleaned. This afternoon comes, and you ask, how much did Ruth bring in? At verse 17, it says that it's about an ephah of barley. Now, you're up on your ephahs. You know how much that is. You know that it's 10 omers. You're up on your omers, too. And you understand that, as I had to look it up, too, it's 6 gallons and 3 pints. We can understand the idea of a gallon. Take one of the big milk jugs, take 6 of those in your refrigerator, and add 3 pints of it in addition. And that's how much Ruth gleaned. That's a good bit. That's enough, according to those that understand these customs, that in one day she gleaned enough for the whole week, maybe even more, depending on their appetite and other things. She basically did all the grocery shopping right there in that one day of work. And God made her work to be significant in his provision. One day, and she has at least a whole week's worth of provisions. God not only provided the work, but through that work, he did other things. And so this is abundance. This is God who, as we saw in the first two messages, blesses and keeps the going out, but also the coming in again. And as they went out when Bethlehem had no bread, they came back and Ruth gets to work. And the first day, God provides enough bread for a whole week. I wonder if that reminds you of anyone else who in the New Testament made loaves multiply. That's what faith in Jesus Christ does. Does it physically through work? It does it spiritually by his grace. This is the God, Ruth is knowing, who does exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we can ask or even imagine. Just look at Ruth's face. Look at how wide her eyes are. Look at the expression on her mouth. It's all the way open. She can't believe all that the Lord has provided. God does this. He does wonderfully through our work. Ruth saw it with barley. She saw it with Boaz. She got both at once. And that's the way our God works. He does one thing, but unbeknownst to the human eye, but to the eye of faith, he does something else that we only see later. Can it not be so with you? Is that maybe something that God is doing in relation to your own work? Do you trust him for that? This could be a great basis for hope for you whose work is uncertain. And you don't know what the future holds. Just what is God doing? Is he doing anything? Where is it all going? Is it all for nothing? Am I spinning my wheels, wasting time? No, you're not. because that's not what God is doing. You put your hands to the plow, you keep them there, and you keep working. You let God take that ox and that plow, as crooked as the furrows may go, and you keep working. God has attached his blessing to work. God not only provides wonderfully with the work, but also through the work. And Ruth came to see that afternoon as well as the morning. She takes her lunch break, and she can't even eat all of the roasted barley grain. She has some left over. She gets out to work, and the work is a little lighter and even more prosperous. Well, then thirdly comes the time of evening. You see it there at verse 17. So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. She took it up, went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She took it out, gave Naomi what she had left after she was satisfied. That was her earlier meal during the day. Her mother-in-law said to her, "Where did you glean today, and where did you work? Obviously, you didn't do this all by yourself." That's quite a bit. If she carried it in her wraparound garment, if it were me, I would have spilled it all the way on the way home. She's able to contain all that amount of barley. She was probably a strong woman, industrious, to bring it home. And Naomi sees this and says, "Where did you go to work? And who took notice? May he be blessed." And so she tells the success of the morning. She tells the success of the afternoon. And God has unfolded his providence here, not only to Ruth, but as I said, as he works, it spills even wider than we see. And now Naomi's face has eyes wide open, and whose mouth also now goes with all the barley. God provides wonderfully our work, but also through our work. This is interesting, because you remember how Naomi is returned to Bethlehem. What kind of a woman is she? She's not Naomi. What's her name now? It's Mara. Who was sweet and pleasant is now bitter. It's not that she personally is bitter, but that's who she is as she considers God's providence. But then Ruth comes home from work. And now Naomi, sort of like that instance in Exodus. You remember when they crossed out of the Red Sea? What was the state of the water? It was bitter. God told Moses and said, "Take this tree and throw it in the water." I don't think it was the whole tree. It was probably a branch of the tree. And that tree in the water, it says, made the waters sweet. That's what this barley harvest is bringing home to Naomi. What was bitter is starting to turn sweet. She has a little bit of joy. There's a bit of a smile on her face. There is a rekindling. It's like the pilot light has gone on again. And there is a fire of devotion and awe to God. God has blessed my going out, and he's blessed my coming back, especially. The Lord has not forsaken me. The Lord has tended to all my needs, even as a widow. This is the blessing of God. God is healing Naomi. He provides not only the work, but wonderfully through the work. And to answer Naomi's question, this has come about not as Ruth, like feminists and people who try to twist the scripture do, that this is an empowered woman. This is a woman who doesn't need a man. No, this is a woman who's provided a man. And with Boaz and with her industriousness, God provides for Ruth and Naomi, and it wouldn't have happened. In fact, bad things could have happened if it wasn't God's man for Ruth. This is the Goel. This is, as Naomi, of all people, confesses, this is our closest relative. I forgot all about Boaz. When I left 10 years ago, all those memories faded. I had no idea little Boaz, young Boaz, teenage Boaz, young man Boaz, would end up having a field and managing like he does. I didn't even think of that. But God did. God knew it all before. And like you with your work, Ruth, he provided Boaz for me too. And now we have food for our table. Tonight, tomorrow, through the whole rest of the week. And not only that, did you say, Ruth, that you're going to work there all rest of the spring and the summer? And you've even got the wheat harvest as well? Wow, how God has been good to us. He not only provided us work, but he's provided through the work. This Goel, this kinsman redeemer, this is the person who had the position of privilege. He could rescue another relative. This Goel, the Hebrew word, is one who could function as the redeemer. This is the redeemer of Job 19:25. I know that my redeemer lives. He lives here. He was the avenger. If someone had taken the life of a family member, the Goel went after that person and could redeem and avenge. He could buy back property that was lost because of indebtedness. This is the relative that, because of debt, a family member is reduced to poverty or even slavery. This is the one that could redeem and buy and bring back. Boaz, Ruth. We have Boaz. He's the one that could even perform the responsibility of the levirate marriage to raise up a descendant so that the name of our family will not be erased. God's doing a lot of things behind the scenes. We'll see more about this word in the coming weeks. But you can see that God not only provides the work, he provides through that work. Does this not make more clear, right here, with all of the course of history that's now turning, as we'll get to the end of Ruth, we'll see it more clearly, is turning toward the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus came, he said, I have come, and as food is to accomplish the work of him who sent me. That was his bread. You remember that Jesus on the Sabbath day said, my Father works and I also work. What was he doing? He was healing people. He was restoring people's fortunes in their lives, healing them, teaching them, bringing them out of error and sin and death to salvation. That's why Jesus said to the disciples, we must work the works of him who's given us these works while there's daylight to do them before night comes, and it's coming. We have our Lord Jesus Christ, whose work was to die for sinners and rise again. God provided the work. But can you and I not say that God was doing things through that work? God was to forgive our sins in view of that work. God was to bring in peace and reconciliation with him. Whoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God not only provided the work for our Savior, but he provided for us through that work. You and I don't have anything with God apart from the finished work of Jesus Christ. And so marvel at Ruth. Marvel at the restoration of fortunes for both of the women and for this man Boaz. But we come short if we don't see our Lord Jesus Christ. He's finished his work. He sat down and he has provided for us because of his finished work. So then, 1 Corinthians 15, brothers, be immovable, abounding in that work of the Lord. Steadfast, keep your hand on the plow, providing for your family. Keep your hand on the plow, even as those other workers may harass you or mock you or insult you for your working as you do. God is doing something else than just the paycheck. He's providing a greater harvest that we'll only see with Ruth and Naomi eyes of faith. Naomi Pleasant, sweetly smiling, would believe the same. And Jesus does as well. The Lord equip you for every good work to be pleasing in his sight. Let us be better workers this new week. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, as we consider this chapter of how you provided for Ruth, and we're doing much more than just outward, temporal, and physical things, you are advancing the cause of Christ among men. You were setting forth the gospel. You were preparing a marriage in which even the Son of God would come forth as the Son of Man, the Son of Mary, to be the Redeemer of his people. He is our kinsman Redeemer. Now by faith, he's become our closest relative. Lord, teach us about him, even as you teach us to work. Confirm the work of our hands, we pray. Yes, confirm the work of our hands, since Christ is finished. Hear us, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.